Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tom Thayer.
Oh, no!
Chicago Bears radio analyst.
That's him.
Don't you think you'd practice at home flipping it a couple times, make sure you get it right? It's like a referee in basketball making sure you throw that jump ball up straight.
Tom Thayer, 1985 Super Bowl champion.
We are the Bears, shuffling crew, shuffling on down.
Tom Thayer.
The Dog Bird!
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. Tom Thayer is simply a legend, a local legend, an international legend, for God's sake. And he joins us on the El Pamonte Ford Hotline. El Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Morning, Tom.
Hi, man. How are you guys?
Well, we're trying to figure out what we saw yesterday and how to feel about it. It was obviously the Bears winning a game they had to win, and yet, I don't know, it just is a little dissatisfying because they almost made it harder than it had to be. It was almost more difficult than it should have been against the team that frankly, is really among the dregs of the league. That Giants team, no damn good.
Yeah, it seems like any victory is going to underwhelm us, especially because of what we had expected for them at the start of the year. But then when you consider at this point in the season some of the mistakes that are being made that are either coming back to haunt you for a series of drive or ultimately in the outcome of the game, whether it's their guy missing field goals or our guy missing field goals or just some balls that maybe Mitch should have never left his hand in another scramble effort, or just looking for a secondary check down would have been helpful. And but it, you know, it's another one of those games that I didn't leave the stadium excited about what happened. I left the stadium relieved that the Bears won and that there is something to take from it in preparation for next week's game against Detroit, but you're not walking out of there, you know, carrying pom-poms above your head.
What area did you find the most confounding, Tom?
You know, 65 yards rushing. You know, like I was saying last night on the Bears Game Day Live with Lou and those guys, I was just saying, look, man, when you look at stats, when you're an offensive line, and immediately you gravitate towards time of possession, productive running game, and how many sacks did you give up? And when you go there and you look at 65 yards rushing, and this is there, you know, on the interior, they have some quality players, but this is an exterior that you can exploit and run around and stuff. So 65 yards rushing is never going to complement your offense or give you any type of advantage. So deceptively, you can run screens or draws or play action passes more effectively.
We were talking earlier this morning that everybody needs a Corey Ballantyne in their life, just someone that you're better than, that you can take advantage of. And, you know, not to be cruel about it, but man, they went at him five times in a row at one point, I think, between the second and third quarter. Why not more? Why not keep that going?
I was listening to you guys before when you were bringing that up, and I agree 100% with you. If you find vulnerability in the opponent's defense, you exploit it as much as you possibly can. And it's not picking on anybody. It's, hey, we're going to pick on this guy until you put somebody else in there, and then we're going to try him too. I remember 4 or 5 years ago, the Bears were playing the New England Patriots in New England, the game that they got beat by 50, that Tom Brady threw one route to one player 13 times in the course of the game, and he caught 11 of them. So the repetitiveness of that threat, it's going to happen until you stop them. So, if you find that guy and you find the good receiver-quarterback combination that can exploit it, do it regularly.
Tom, to me, it was telling post-game to see the demeanor that Mitch Trubisky carried and the way he was answering questions, and we certainly overanalyze that sometimes, but yesterday I thought particularly him talking about how much freer he feels when they go up tempo and when he's going to the line of scrimmage and these, when they increase, you know, the no huddle frequency, and he says, You're seeing the defense. You're kind of just reacting. It's something I've been doing my whole life. It's more natural for me. And I hear that and I see that. And you see how natural, and he's a good athlete. But at some point, that is in conflict with the scheme. And his skills are maybe more suited for being a little bit more freer. Is that oversimplifying it? Or what do you think that says when he is that, you know, obvious about it?
Well, you know, first of all, when you're going to go that sped up tempo of no huddle, you're comfortable against the personnel you're facing because they're not going to be able to make wholesale changes. So now when you have a personnel grouping on the field that you feel they're vulnerable and you don't have to constantly look to the sideline or be alerted into the personnel changes because you're facing the same group that you did the play before, sometimes just the regularness of who you're facing each play kind of, it allows a quarterback to be a little bit more familiar when you call the play, where is my first attack going to go to? So, you know, that is, sometimes that helps. And then, you know, but also the amount of movement with Mitch, you know, giving him a moving pocket, giving him a little time to adjust away from directly behind the center quarterback exchange, and then that kind of it creates awareness in the defense that you have to widen out your rush. It's not all to a central point. So, you know, the different things he can do with his feet, he can help control defenses, but it's about mentally what he can do when there is no huddle, that you become familiar with the group you're going against. You practice these plays during the course of the week in your preparation, and you kind of you're in a comfort zone too at the speed in which you're playing, because it's never no huddle. Let's get to the line of scrimmage and run a play as quickly as possible. Let's put the defensive personnel in place according to our offensive formation, and then we're going to see, you know, is the vulnerability that we expected there to be still there, or, you know, do we have to look to an alternate target?
They converted 1 of 12 third downs and still had the ball with a look at it at the end of the game. It doesn't make any sense to me, because you did shut them down well enough to and that conversion was very early in the game, as I recall. So why wasn't that an easier victory, Tom? Why against a team like that with Ballantyne, with explosive plays, with no conversions?
Well, you know, the biggest thing is David Montgomery's first carry went for 13 yards. And then after that, I think he had like 12 carries for 9 yards or something like that. And, you know, a certain amount of his carries from zero to negative gain. You cannot survive like that. There's no way that even the best of the best of the quarterbacks are going to survive with, you know, with great success on third down when they're third and 7+. And these guys, Beecher, the defensive coordinator of the Giants, he's willing to bring bodies from all over the place and bring some blitzers and try to speed up the thinking process of the quarterback. So when you're unsuccessful running the ball, you're playing right into the hands of the opponent's defensive coordinator and allows him to be a little bit more aggressive. So, you know, I think that statistically when you look at this offense, if you cannot complement whatever you want to do, throwing the ball by a solid running game. And again, just that complete awareness of the running back position, because they're just rushing the quarterback through the running back. They're not having a sophisticated run-stopping defensive front up there to make sure they limit the success of the running game, because there hasn't been any. It's all about how can they stop, slow down the passing game, and then get bodies, you know, in the area of Mitch.
Tom, what did you think of the way the Giants blocked Khalil Mack? And by blocked, I mean freed.
I think that the offensive coordinator, who I believe is Mike Shula, for the one sack strip fumble that Khalil caused, it's an awful play call. It's an awful protection design in where they called it on terms of where they were backed up against the goal line.
Yep.
It was just an awful, awful play at that time when you should have, you know, the maximum amount of protection should be the first thing that you want to design in that field position.
We haven't talked yet much about Cordero Patterson and his impact on that game, but he made a couple of huge special teams plays that had a huge impact on the game. And when you win a game that is a close game and a 5-point victory is a close game, you got to look at that too. That he really, for a guy that didn't get the ball at all on offense, he made an impact.
You're right. You know, it's kind of funny during the broadcast when he did catch the one punt out of the sky, Jeff says, well, that's his first reception of today. And it is, you know, as effective as he can be on offense, and more, you know, he's almost like got the Tariq thing. You know, Tariq from the line of scrimmage is more of an immediate threat than he is out of the backfield. You know, Cordell Patterson, I think he could be more of an immediate threat rather than catching or running jet sweeps or running out of the backfield. I would rather give him the opportunity to win immediately at the line of scrimmage and then, you know, get him in space and carrying the ball because that's what he's good at. But his special team willingness is amazing, that how good of a tackler he is for being having the history of an offensive player, how instinctful he is on these big plays, how he can get away from the protectors on the punt team. You know, you think of Matthew Slater, who's the Pro Bowl AFC representation from the New England Patriots, who's one of the best of the best.
It was great.
Cordell Patterson is right in that same conversation, and he's a super effective big man that can run well.
Tom, the headlines in Detroit say the Lions are rock bottom, but how big is this challenge for the Bears coming back in a short week and going on the road to win in Detroit?
You know, David, this defense in Detroit scares me way more than any other defense that's come to Chicago in quite a while. Because when you get they have a holiday crowd support there. It's a good crowd, and when I think both defenses this week are going to play better than they did the first Detroit game because the Bears defense they're going to be exposed to the rhythm of the snap counter, the quarterback. And then when you get a young quarterback that's inexperienced, he kind of falls into a regular tempo, and that's going to be able to help the Bears defense. But I think the Bears offense is going to struggle because with the supportive crowd noise, you're not going to have a verbal cadence to activate the offensive line. That's going to be going on a silent movement, and I really do think that gives an immediate advantage to Detroit's defense.
It should be fascinating because obviously you just played them. You got a quick turnaround here, so you're going to be relying on a lot of what happened, what you learned before, and what you studied before, and now you got a little more tape of the quarterback. We'll see.
Yeah, but you know what scares me going into this week is the theme of that Patricia's on his way out.
Right.
And if the team, if he has any control of that locker room, the one reflection these players can have on behalf of Patricia is go out there and play an emotional-filled game on Thanksgiving Day and just show the ownership that they have support for this coach. I don't know if they do, but I tell you, when the narrative starts immediately following the game about – you know, job security, that really changes the whole, you know, the locker room conversation when the doors are closed and it's players only.
Tom, thanks a ton. It's always a joy to talk to you.
Good stuff, Tom. Thank you.
See you guys.
That was Tom Thayer live, brought to you by your local Ford dealers and Built Ford Tough F-150, the official truck of the Chicago Bears.
Let's face it, when you are the Bears, 5-6, you can't take anybody for granted. And the Lions are a bit dangerous this week, even with, you know, coming off a loss that they're coming off of at home on Thanksgiving Day, it's a different dynamic.
Do me a favor, just kind of sit up. Yeah, ask me a question professionally, and I'll answer.
Now, all you got to do is tell that team they can get rid of Patricia if they just lay an egg. I think that's what Tom, I think that's the message Tom's getting out.
I'm asking just to be a little respectful in this whole process, okay?
It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, we had, I think our first run was a nice little 10, 11, 12 yard gain. And this just happened to be one of those games where you could feel that we were moving the ball more through the air. And when that's the case, you want to kind of stick to that. So it has nothing to do with anything other than that. You'd like to, at the end of the game, the 4 minute there, when it's third and one, those there, we want to get. We want to get those.
Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the score. You don't really want to run the ball, but that third and one at the end of the game you'd like to get.
Well, that third and one at the end of the game, you'd like to be able to think that your offensive line can get you 3 feet when you need it.
Wouldn't that be nice?
You would be feel like a lot better if you could confidently say that. That said, I understand the criticisms about the, you know, not establishing the run, but yesterday was sort of a different situation because the Giants defense was so bad and he had so many opportunities in the secondary to exploit, and they did exploit them with Allen Robinson and Anthony Miller. I think they both had great games.
I gotta tell you, I think they got bored doing it. I really do. I think we talk about this all the time. When the running game is going, don't get bored, just keep doing it. And I think they had that Corey Ballantyne series where they were just going at the guy, and they just were kind of like, well, let's try something else. Look, there could be something on the other side of the field. Keep going at him. Go at him, as Tom said, until the opponent has to take him out of the game, come up with a different defense. Make them react to it. Why not? You had an unbelievable advantage that was painfully evident.
Yeah.
You almost felt bad for the kid.
Robinson was targeted 10 times, Miller 9 times. I mean, so they were a bigger part of the game plan and the offense than they had in previous weeks.
But it wasn't enough. Okay. I mean, as stupid as that sounds, you target them and you keep going at them, do it until they have to make
it. Well, it wasn't enough because they ended up with 19 points. Well, let's face it. That's not good enough, because 19 points against the Giants was still a better than average day for the Giants defense, because this is a defense that was giving up a lot of points coming in. You know, you look at the running attack for the Bears. Cohen has 6 carries. David Montgomery, 13. Mitch Trubisky with 7. Now, some of those were broke, you know, situations where the protection broke down.
Yeah.
And he tucked it and ran it. That's what you want to see, though.
That's exactly what you want
to
see.
That's when he gets going. He starts to build confidence because he sees the chains moving. And psychologically, I think that helps him.
Pretty good for a guy with a bad hip. 312-644-6767. Don't even start. Jerome's in Bowling Brook.
Hey, Jerome.
Hello, my friend. Guys.
Morning, Jerome.
Yesterday, you know, the Bears, they play that can't-miss football, and the reason that you got to sit there and can't miss it because they're going to do something stupid and then you're going to lose the game. 19-14. You waiting at the end. Oh my God, let's hope they don't get another touchdown. You know, here's the book on Cohen. I got 3 points I want to make, guys. The book on Cohen is the book on Nagy. Everybody knows that when Cohen comes in the game, when it's 2nd and 6 or 3rd and 7, that he's going to get the ball. They have seen the film on him. So they put 2 people on him, and when he runs his 3 yards, he can't go anywhere but out of bounds because Nagy runs these plays where you go from east to west. So he's kind of done, because last year he was a fluke, a phenomenon. Everybody knows what Coyne's going to do. Secondly, they five out of the last six games, the Bears have not scored in the first half, and seven of the games they've only scored 3 points because they have no rhythm because they don't run the ball. They don't even attempt and act like you want to run the ball. You know, it's like going out with a girl. You know what you want, but you don't show her. The Bears don't even do that. You know, they don't even act like
they played hard to
they
get.
They don't want to do anything. Yeah. You know, they're terrible. They just, you know, they're going to win one more game. They're going to be 6-10 at best. I don't see them beating Dallas, Minnesota, yeah. Green Bay. Even Green Bay runs the ball. Well, I watched Cleveland yesterday.
Well, Jerome, here's the thing. All they got to do is win the next game.
Yeah.
Win that game. And then a week from Thursday, you got a Dallas team coming in here. We'll see what shape they're in.
See,
we'll see how they're feeling about life. And don't forget, at some point here, Akeem Hicks is coming back.
Well, they say that he's going to come back for the Packers game.
Ryan Pace talked about it in the gripping pregame.
He said that they were planning on him coming back. Thanks for the phone call, Jerome. Good stuff. I'm not ready to say the Bears. I mean, again, every game is its own season, right? Every week in the NFL sort of takes on a life of its own. So you win Thursday and you're at 500. And then are you telling me that because of what you've seen that the Bears can't beat the Cowboys? I don't know that I agree with that.
I don't agree with that at all.
And so after that, then you start to go week to week and, okay, you go up to Lambeau. You don't know the context of that week. You don't know who's coming back. You don't know what the emotional state of each respective team is going to be. Look, it's a very difficult argument to make, and I'm not gonna sit there and start saying, you know, don't count the Bears out. But if you are in that locker room after winning yesterday, you've got to have that mindset that all you got to do is win Thursday, get back to 500, take a deep breath, and move on.
They're alive. They're still alive. I mean, that's all.
The NFL.
That's the headline. It is now. Could they get embarrassed on Thursday? I suppose. I mean, the opponent is coming from Washington, where they just lost to that Redskins team. Ugh. That is just one of the worst losses you're ever going to see. And yet, here are the Bears. They just barely got past a team that's as bad. The Washington and New York are in the same division and share the same record.
But the state of the NFL is, as you were pointing out earlier, is that, the Bears could easily go to Detroit and be embarrassed on Thanksgiving Day. Or they could look very good and come back and beat the Cowboys at home and be on a three-game winning streak, and you wouldn't be surprised either way.
Cowboys played New England. Cowboys apparently hadn't been told that it could be wet and rainy and cold. No one filled them in on that one. The Cowboys hadn't played anybody, haven't beaten anybody very good. So who knows? I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the Bears are going to roll over the Cowboys when the Cowboys come in. I'm saying look at this league. Half the league has a losing record, and that means that all the teams that are beating up on the bad teams, you can't tell if they're worth anything.
And the reason you feel good about saying that, or that you can't, the Bears have somebody on defense, obviously, is a game wrecker in Khalil Mack, but they also now have a guy on offense that is a mismatch waiting to happen in Allen Robinson. And if you can find a way to scheme him open or to get the matchup that you want, you can take advantage of that enough to matter.
The Bears have so many problems, though. It's hard to sit here try to be optimistic after that. That cost me life momentum.
Well, I'm not saying be optimistic, but realistic is that what we've talked about is that they are competitive enough to win a couple games in a row now.
You could be over 500 in a couple of weeks, and you could have your second best defensive player coming back
so
for the stretch run.
And if you're at Halas Hall today, that's where you got to look at it.
Who knows?
Yeah.
The three games back of the final wild card spot.
Right.
You're talking about the Redskins. See their quarterback last play of the game?
That was awesome. It was so awesome. Case Keenum had to come in and take the victory formation because we had the quarterback out taking a selfie.
Hi, Mom.
But with a fan. I mean,
of course.
He's fan friendly.
Well,
he's,
I mean, it's not often they win. You got to be pretty happy about things, right?
Clubbed up.
Yes, they did. Yeah,
that's right. If you're gonna win, you better start
get
dancing.
500, please.
Well, I mean, don't release the video until after you're at 500. Is that fair?
Yeah. That's completely fair.
It's just
fair.
Like you had this like blah game, and then everybody's out. It's just kind of like, hey, that's great that you can do it, but John Gruden is still yelling in my head. You know?
Ooh.
Olin Krutz.
Happy we won, but it's not good enough. Not nearly good enough from this offense, from myself.
I watched Mitch Trubisky in his post-game interview, and I thought he was very honest on where they are as a team.
he said, on offense, we were not good enough. And he's right. But the thing that worried me about Mitch and Coach Nagy when I used to listen to them talk, Big Ant, was they weren't saying what I thought I saw.
It was like they were watching a different game or something.
And I have no doubt that they know way more than me about their team. None. But when they would say things, I would always think, like, that's not what's really wrong with your team. Today was the first time it felt like it was an honest assessment of where we are, especially by Mitch Trubisky.
Olin Krutz.
What I thought I saw today, Big Ant, was Mitch Trubisky taking ownership of this offense. Mitch Trubisky's got to get to the point of, it's not Coach Nagy's offense. This is my offense. This is what I like to do. This falls on me. And when he does, then he'll walk in the building like that.
Olin Krutz, every week with Mully and Haw. He probably doesn't like you, but he loves to talk Bears with Mully and Haw.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score, and it is the season to celebrate an Olin Krutz. Always a joy to talk to Olin on a Built Ford Tough Bears Monday, and he joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. It felt like they got a nice gift playing the Giants yesterday. I don't know how good that victory was, Olin, but you got to win. They won. Everybody's kind of a little uncomfortable talking about it, but hey, you won.
Morning, Olin.
Good morning, guys. And they sure did. And that's what you have to do first and foremost is win that game. But guys, if you take a good look at the Detroit, at that Giants game they just played, you just got the Chicago Bears team we began all year, right? You got a team that couldn't score in the first half. Penalties were holding them back on big plays. Then they come out. The defense holds. The defense was the best unit on the field yesterday for either team, and that showed. The defense holds and holds, and the offense finally comes out, gets a second quarter drive, gets a field goal, scores in the first drive of the third quarter like we all know they're going to do. And then the defense lets up a late touchdown late in the game. The offense can't get their four-minute offense going, can't get a third and one. But the defense does hold, and the Giants, they were their identity with all their mistakes and missing all their field goals. So if you took a really good look at these two teams before they came into the game, you probably could have took a pretty good guess at what kind of game you were going to get.
Olin, I really appreciated what you had to say after the game. I thought Trubisky's demeanor was noticeable. I thought he was a little bit edgy, and I liked it because I think that he understands that, you know, it wasn't good enough. And I also like the way that maybe he challenged himself and revealed some things about him. I guess what I'm curious to see what you think. You said, you know, he needs to make clear that what his offense is, maybe what he likes to do. I just see that being a sort of a natural conflict between his skills and Nagy's scheme. And I think that is the ongoing kind of story of this season, and they've got to figure that one out.
Yeah, just excited to see him up there saying those things, right? It just, okay, now where is this going to take this offense? And the next question for Mitch is, yes, that wasn't good enough. Yes, those two interceptions were bad. Some of your decision-making is really bad. You just go through that, you know, the Mitch that frustrates Coach Nagy, I'm sure, and all of Chicago is on that drive where he threw the interception to Anthony Robinson, right? And, you know, Bronnecker, it's the whole offense. Bronnecker gets a drop. And it's a beautiful read and pass by Mitch. And he throws the RPO to Tariq Cohen, which is an absolute dart in the middle of the field between two Giants defenders. And then he throws a interception that you really can't explain, right? And he comes up there on the podium, and I think he's going to say, we got to get better, and we just didn't do what we had to do, but he did it. He said, I need to be better than I was. And I hear ownership in his voice and maybe kind of fed up with the way he's playing and the way his offense is playing. And then the question is, what's next, Mitch? And what's next is Mitch going in and demanding from his teammates what he needs from them. And I see a young receiver, Miller, I see him playing a lot better, which tells me that maybe Mitch is taking an interest in him and they're putting in a little more work on the field after practices, before practice, in the building. Spend more hours together getting things fixed. So it's good to see him up there on that podium, taking ownership of his offense, saying that he likes no huddle, saying that he likes to get out of the pocket, run a little bootleg. Like, we all understand that you can't just do that. But if you look at their third quarter drives, guys, and it's really no mystery, right? Everybody's like, wow, how did they score those five in a row? What are they doing different? Well, I mean, four out of those five drives, guys, they start in I formation, and they do play action passes, and they boot Mitch around a little bit. They start with that no huddle that ends their first half, which gets them Mitch a little warmed up in what he wants to do. And you just want to see them. And to Coach Nagy's credit and his defense, they are trying a little bit of that now in the beginning of games. They did that against the Rams. They went no huddle. They just missed that field goal. Panero missed the field goal. And then yesterday on third down, their first couple of third downs when Mitch Trubisky missed a wide-open Bronnecker on their first third and two, they were in no huddle, and they line up. And that way Coach Nagy can look at the defense from the sideline, and Mitch can look at it, and he knows exactly what he's going to get. So maybe just a little more eye formation, a little more boot, and get Mitch doing what he wants to do. And then you guys can work together and get a little more of your offense in too.
Okay, so the Detroit Lions go to Washington and lose. They come home now to take on the Bears on Thursday. You've been through these games a very short week, and obviously a big crowd there and a tradition there. But it's a pick'em game, which doesn't make sense to me given how awful Detroit has been. Does that mean – I don't know what it means. What does it mean? How hard
you
is that?
You know what it means. It means the Bears are bad too. where are you going with this, Molly? We both know. You watched that game yesterday. I mean, if you didn't have to analyze it, you probably turned the channel. But we both know why it's a pick'em game, and the Bears have to play. If they want to be favored, they have to play better football against these bad teams. Look, they didn't destroy the Lions here. They scored on three drives in a row. You know, at the end of the half, they finally found Bronnecker in the end zone against a third string free safety. And I got to take a little better look at the Lions to see if they're healthy again or who's on the field for them. But they go after Slay, which I wouldn't do, in their first drive of the third quarter. And Allen Robinson beats him because that's how good Allen Robinson is playing. And then they get a pass interference on Slay. So basically they went after their best player in the first drive of the third quarter and got two big plays on them and scored a touchdown. They had three touchdowns in a row, I think 21 points. And all of a sudden, you know, their offense shuts down again. So if you're in Vegas and you're setting a line, and you know more about this than me, so you would set them as a pick'em game.
Olin, yesterday, 60-yard completion from Trubisky to Allen Robinson negated when Cody Whitehair hands to the face penalty. And I heard you discussing that afterward. And certainly, what did you think about that, first of all? And secondly, I heard you mention that there was a time where you were known maybe to jab a guy in the neck just to keep him from rushing the passer. True or false?
Yeah.
That was just a poor reporter in the locker room.
Yes, but you know, when I play, we're talking about a different football game, right? And D linemen were slapping us in the helmet, and they may have been illegal, but things weren't getting as called as much. And yeah, if it was a big guy who liked to bull rush, I probably was aiming for the neck a little bit to slow him down, and maybe a slap to the helmet right off of my snap, hit my snap hand right to his face to slow him down a little bit. But they have emphasized those things nowadays, and they want your hands out of your face. And the Giants now, they have a bunch of high draft picks on their D-line, and their defense isn't playing really well, but that D-line is hard to move, and they're hard to handle. And sometimes you get in there with those big guys, you get into a fight and your hands end up where they shouldn't be when you're trying to gain leverage on a guy. But, you know, the offensive line, really just too many penalties from the beginning of the year. This is part of their identity. We talked about the beginning of this that, you know, they get a big player or they get a holding call or they get a hands to the face. You know, Allen Robinson gets a 60-yard. I mean, what would Mitch's stats be, or what would Allen Robinson's stats have been with that 60-yard completion? What a game that would have been for him. So the offensive line just got to keep working on it, keeping their hands inside, keeping their hands out of people's faces, not holding guys like Bobby Massey did when the linebacker shot downhill on that. Get your head across, bring your feet, keep your hands out of the way. And look, I'm giving you coaching points that people gave me when I would get holding calls and put my hands in people's faces. But the offensive line's got to stop getting those penalties when they finally start moving the ball, because this offense is not good enough to overcome penalties like they were getting.
So when we talk about this game in Detroit, you're talking about rivalry game, talking about a division game, you're talking about an opponent you just played. The game plan will be fairly fresh in everyone's mind. You don't have a hell of a lot of time. You don't know. You assume that their quarterback isn't going to play, that Stafford's still out, and it's only one practice if he were to decide to play. What? How difficult is that, Olin, and how different is it to play a game like this with that turnaround?
Well, the good thing is that you just played them, right? So you're very familiar. It's a division opponent. So the preparation of knowing the guy and knowing the guy you're going against and all the little technique that you have to work on and the defense and how they're going to line up the three wide receivers and how they're going to line up the two tight ends. And, you know, maybe it's all you're looking for now in your film work is a couple new little wrinkles they could give you in certain situations. But you know your opponent. So now it's just about recovery, getting in the ice tub, getting your rest, and getting ready to go. And just remember this, that the guy you're playing against, he had the same amount of rest as you. He's going through the same thing you're going through. So the guy who's going to be tired out there is the guy who's getting his butt kicked. So you go out there and you just the good thing about the Bears is that the preparation part, the film study, it's not a brand-new opponent. So you'll pour over some film, but you know what you're going to get. A couple of walkthroughs, get those bumps and bruises healed up, and go out there and get a win and get yourself to 6-6 because this is a very beatable Lions team. And if you go out there prepared and ready to play, I mean, you're playing probably, like you just said, a backup quarterback, a team that just lost to the Redskins when the quarterback was taking a selfie in the stands so he didn't have to take a knee before you guys. So if you it's a team that you could probably go out there and beat, and you probably should beat it, even though it's a pick 'em game. And maybe we start to see guys, you know, I don't know, when I hear those things, I just get a little more excited for this Bears team for what's next. When I hear Mitch Trubisky on the podium like that, almost like he's not accepting it anymore. Like he's not, like that's just not good enough. I don't like playing like this anymore. It's not you guys saying it. It's not the media saying it. It's not the people outside saying it. It's not the fans booing Tariq Cohen. It's me. I'm not happy with this. I'm not happy with this offense. And if they get more guys on that offense taking ownership of how that offense is supposed to look and how they want it to look, and more guys tired of getting booed, tired of not scoring points, tired of being the 30th ranked offense in the league, because take Coach Nagy and his staff out of it, and it's you guys that have to be more consistent. It's you guys that have to execute the play that's called. So after what I heard on that podium yesterday, kind of excited to see this Bears offense against Detroit and see if there's a new attitude and a new commitment to, hey, we're going to be a pretty good, a damn good offense, and we're tired of being one of the worst offenses in the NFL.
Last thing quickly, Olin, did you hear Mitch Trubisky sending Matt Nagy a message at the podium by saying how much more comfortable he is, how much freer he feels when it's up-tempo and no huddle?
Yeah, I mean, I heard him sending everybody a message, right? That, look, this is what I like to do, but I also have to do the other things better. Because let's be honest, guys. I mean, they are good at that, but that's you cannot just come out and say that's what we're going to do. We're just going to do that all the time. You have to be good at a little bit of everything you do. You got to be good at the pocket and getting the ball out, with Mitch does show sometimes. But maybe he is saying, like, look, let me start the game with some eye formation, with hand the ball off to Montgomery. Let's not go inside zone to Tariq Cohen, since that really hasn't worked. Let's dump that to start the game. Let's run draws to Tariq Cohen, because when you run a draw, that's what it looks like. It works for him. Let's run inside zone to Dave Montgomery. Now the offensive line has got to get on their double teams and get these big guys moving back and give Montgomery some room. But they got to take a good look at their run game, and someone's really got to study it, and they got to come up with something better, because you know, Javon Williams is on the field. You heard Spielman, very good middle linebacker for the Buffalo Bills, yeah. Smart guy. Knows how to read things, knows how to read tendencies. And he said Javon Wims is on the field. It's probably a run. They were faking guys on some run plays. They're faking a jet sweep to Javon Wims. I mean, if I see that one more time, I might barf. You're not going to give a jet sweep to Javon Wims, so stop doing that. Do things that make sense in your run game, and let's get that thing going. I think Mr. Trubisky is on the podium and really sending a message to everybody that that's enough. That's enough. We got to get better, and it starts with me. And I'm going to help everybody get better. And hopefully, he takes this offense and this team and takes them to where he wants to go, and they get a little better this week.
Great stuff, Olin. Thank you.
Thanks, Olin. Good
appreciate
stuff.
It, guys.
Yep.
That's Olin Kreutz live, brought to you by your local Ford dealers and Built Ford Tough F-150, the official truck of the Chicago Bears. It's Mully and On the Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.